The Breakfast Huddle replay from Money FM 89.3.
You know, in the past, where G20 summits are concerned, it's usually quiet discussion among politicians about trade and geopolitical issues. Then came along U.S. President Donald Trump, and we have the G20 summit that starts today in Osaka, Japan, where all eyes are on the potential face-off between the U.S. and China, whether both sides can come to some kind of an agreement with regard to the trade war. Earlier this week on Wednesday, U.S. Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin said that the trade deal between the United States and China was about 90% complete. But at the same time, I'll bring you back to previous summits or meetings where we've seen how President Trump isn't afraid to walk away from a deal. And in fact, even before the G20 started, Trump had already threatened that if talks don't go well, he will impose an additional $300 billion on Chinese imports. China is not Trump's only focus. He has got his eyes, he's got his trade gun barrels aimed at the European Union and Japan, threatening these two allies with auto tariffs. He's also renewed his criticism of the U.S.-Japan Security Alliance, talking about soldiers that are stationed at various ports and whatnot, right? So over the course of this G20 summit, he is set to hold 9 bilateral meetings with various leaders. The prominent ones include Russian President Vladimir Putin, Saudi Arabia's Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman, as well, of course, his BFF, Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe. But really, you know, with the entire geopolitical situation, this G20 summit has been built as one of the most consequential ones since the 2008 global financial crisis. What can we expect over the next 2 days? Good friend of ours, Jeff Ng, head of Continuum Economics, in the studio with me. Jeff, welcome back. Thanks for taking the time.
Good morning.
So we have seen previously how Trump is willing to walk away from these sort of meetings, these sort of summits. There are some preconditions that have been set out with regard to the U.S.-China trade talks. We're talking about Huawei perhaps being taken off the blacklist, removing those tariffs. But how can Chinese President Xi Jinping win over Donald Trump without looking like he's too pro-China in that sense?
Yeah, looking at this, you know, the two countries' position heading into the G20 meetings, yeah, it's a bit hard to find, you know, true, you know, common ground to work on at the moment. Yeah, because I think both parties have their own agendas to work on. At the same time, I think they will also want to cooperate with each other. So they've started talking again. Yeah, I think it's going to be volatile because it could be that the most likely outcome will be we get a temporary truce between the two of them, you know, agreeing to continue to talk to each other. It's also, you know, approaching the U.S. elections for the U.S. in 2020. So I think they will want to be in a position where they continue to talk to China, but, you know, they do not concede too much. On China's position, I think they will still want to not have the tariff step on them, but they will not want to concede too much on issues pertaining to their stability and development. So yeah, I think a lot of factors to watch out for, but I think what common ground you will find is, for instance, trying to find the common ground on economic cooperation, but also still, you know, being aware of their own national positions.
Yeah, but the fact is, they are the two largest economies in the world. They need to cooperate in some sense. And this lack of opening that you mentioned has led a lot of analysts saying that maybe we'll get something like what we got last year at Buenos Aires, a 90-day stand down, so to speak. You think we'll have a stand down is likely, but do you think it'll be as long as 90 days? Because clearly 90 days wasn't enough the last time around.
Yeah, indeed. it's very hard to predict how Trump will react this time around. I think, yeah, his patience looks a bit, you know, thin this time around.
This hating. Couple of days, he's been regularly making harsh comments, right?
Yes, and if you look at his tweets, you know, for the past 1 to 2 days, he's been focusing and lashing out on, like what you've mentioned, you know, his allies. Yeah. India also not mentioned, but yeah, he and India, now more tariffs levied on India, and India has taken retaliatory measures as well. So yeah, there's a lot of protectionism and tariffs and threats going along.
It's basically any ally of the United States that doesn't see the United States economy in a good position or a better position than their ally in that sense. But, you know, with all this happening over the weekend, when markets reopen on Monday, Are markets prepared for Trump to potentially add those $300 billion worth of tariffs that he talked about?
I don't think they are fully prepared because over the past 1.5 weeks, just speculation of the US and China not going to have talks. You know, things are looking somewhat complete, but now not so complete anymore. They've started to price in some sort of a truce or some small agreement. As you've seen, I think some stock indicators have gone up again, especially from, let's say, the US. Some of the currencies like the renminbi has stabilized once again. So if come Monday, you know, nothing gets done, Trump slaps the tariffs on China and China takes more retaliatory measures, then we could see, you know, further signs of weakness in, say, the renminbi in most of the risky assets compared to the risk-free ones.
We're getting a G20 summit preview thanks to Jeff Ng, head of Continuum Economics, in the studio with me. This was brought up and it's been labeled as off limits at G20, the protests in Hong Kong over this whole extradition bill, right? China said it's off limits. Donald Trump has somewhat said he plans to raise the issue. You know, could this be where the US-China trade talks are concerned? Could this be a bit of a turnoff if he were to try and approach the subject? How do you think President Xi would react to it? Your opinion.
Well, I think it could be a big distraction because, firstly, you want to talk about the trade talks, which is at the central of, you know, the discussions. At the same time, you also have a lot of other issues as well, like Korea, denuclearization, you know, Iran, for instance, Hong Kong, even other economies like Taiwan. You know, a lot of different distractions that could potentially, you know, derail the and defocus away from, let's say, focusing on how to stop tariffs from being escalated. So they only have a limited amount of time because all these high-level meetings are usually quite brief and top-level and top-down, whereas a lot of working-level officials will be talking on the specifics. So I think, it's important for, say, both Trump and Xi to sit down and assess where's the main issues, especially in the world economy, how to find economic cooperation and focus on this for the time being.
Yeah, we often forget that really it's the leaders that are kind of like setting the tone. At the end of the day, the real work needs to be done by Robert Lighthizer and Steven Mnuchin after this summit. Let's talk about the other issues surrounding the United States. Trump is looking at the European Union and Japan. He's threatened these two allies with auto tariffs. What are the odds that this could somewhat be settled at the G20? In spite of the main thing being the US-China trade war, it is one of the distractions that he's got to deal with.
Yes, indeed. I think he has a full agenda of meeting at least 9 leaders. So yeah, I presume, you know, these topics will be very important in terms of trying to sort out deals with the EU as well as Japan as well. And I think, in terms of the G20, it looks like it's becoming more sidelined by, you know, bilateral talks rather than multilateral talks, because the focus of G20 should be, you know, having 20 nations meet.
All gathered together.
Yeah, talking about multilateralism. You know, topics like climate change, for instance, these are advocated like by French President Macron. These are going to be likely, you know, sidelined compared to, you know, trade and tariffs.
It's like the things that are supposed to be discussed at the G20. Are things that Donald Trump doesn't like, climate change, for example. So it's become a bit of 9 times G2, where he has 9 bilateral meetings. If you can help us out, he's got one-on-one meetings with a couple of prominent people. What do you think will be the topic of discussion at each of these meetings? Let's start with his meeting with Russian President Vladimir Putin.
Well, I think even for Russia, I think trade, you know, economic cooperation and, you know, where does Russia stand? For instance, if the US choose to pursue a more, you know, aggressive stance against China trade, I think this could be issues, for instance, because Russia has been more supportive of China's Belt and Road Initiative, and it has clearly taken positions, for instance, to support, you know, its cooperative stance with China. So yeah, I think in terms of, you know, economic cooperation, trade, I think this won't, you know, be too far away from what he wants to talk about.
I know this one's going to be very sensitive when he sits and speaks with Saudi Arabia's Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman. What are the issues there?
Wow.
This is a tough one.
Yeah, it's really really about politics, which could be a bit more beyond my scope at the moment.
Yeah.
But yeah, because of the Iran issues, the oil prices.
Sure.
So I think Monday we could also see, you know, the oil prices being a swing factor.
Because there's OPEC happening next week as well. And that's another potential distraction overshadow of the main trade issues that are happening with regard to the U.S. right now. He's also set to meet Indian Prime Minister Narendra Modi. Any idea what that would be about?
Well, there'll be trade, definitely.
The
recent
right?
tariffs that's been levied on each other. And, Trump's Indo-Pacific strategy, whether it's still consistent or... Because Trump has been trying to, you know, engage with other Asian economies like India, like Southeast Asia, to, you know, move China away from being the central of the economic engine of the world at the moment. But, yeah, it's going to be tough because... I think for many Asian economies like India, Southeast Asia, the key is that many may be reluctant in our view to take sides and to take the kind of positions at either side. And I think that, you know, they still want to aim for, I think, multilateral cooperation, if not at least bilateral cooperation.
We've talked about trade war. Oil is actually all on the side, a side issue that's getting overshadowed by the trade war. Auto tariffs as well. And in this sense, not just auto tariffs, you know, when he meets with Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe, there's also a bit of a political security issue there that they're going to talk about as well, right?
Indeed. Yeah, like we've mentioned about the, you know, the North Korea denuclearization.
Sure.
And initially, things were looking rosy last year. Now it's looking not so rosy anymore. So, yeah, I think talking about issues and thinking about, for instance, how to get more cooperation, both economic-wise and political-wise.
Yeah.
But, yeah, a lot of this will still be high-level, and I will find more details being more important for, you know, the outcome and the trends going forward.
I know I've highlighted quite a number of countries, but apart from the United States, which seems to be attracting all the attention right now, hogging all of the spotlight right now, which other countries will be trying to achieve something at this meeting, have a greater agenda, in your opinion? Anyone to point out?
Well, we can't, you know, ignore China at the moment as well, because China also has a lot of agenda. It has the Belt and Road Initiative, which was quite contentious in many news sources. People accusing of like sovereignty issues, debt issues, whether these projects make sense. So I think China will still want to advance, for instance, its position of global regional cooperation with a lot of third parties in, you know, the G20 that's not really aligned as well. I think they also want to focus on multilateralism, you know, things that matter to the global economy as well, such as climate change.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I think a lot of different issues will likely be raised.
Post-Brexit, any chance that this might be discussed? Would this be something that perhaps the UK would have an agenda at these G20 meetings, in your opinion?
It could be, yeah. I think even for the UK, you know, as I think it's international position,
yeah.
For us, we are still watching out for who will be the new leader,
the new leader
as well. And I think that could assess the economic position, whether there'll be a no-deal Brexit or will there be, you know, some degree of a direction for his Brexit. So yeah, I think plenty to ponder about.
It's a very interesting G20. It's a very neither here nor there type of status that we are going into with regard to these meetings over the next 2 days.
Yes. So I think what market observers like myself, I think, will be watching out for instance, will not just be about talk, it'll be about actions.
Sure.
So whether there'll be, you know, for instance, a joint signed agreement or communique by the world leaders on any issues at all, I think these are certain signalling stance at, for instance, how they want to shape the world economy going forward.
All right. Thank you so much. We've had Jeff Ng, head of Continuum Economics, in the studio with us. Jeff, thank you and have a good weekend ahead.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SBH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.